You know who's good with those muskets? Daniel Day-Lewis. You watch Last of the Mohicans, and he just hits everybody with those things. And then,
He was around that back then.
yes, and he shoots them, and then he shoots them so fast that they never got a shot off. So then he drops his gun and picks up theirs and shoots another guy. That's how
He's
good he
out of
is.
guns, he picks up his hatchets.
Yes, I fucking love that movie.
It's a pretty good movie.
That's a good movie.
I bet you Daniel Day-Lewis is probably the biggest cocksucker in the world. I bet no one likes him.
Wait. Is it bad to be a cocksucker, though? Because I enjoy oral sex, and I would hate for the
I
person.
know. I think it's
Well,
interesting that.
when I say cocksucker, I mean like dickhead.
Oh, there's a difference, Dave.
Somewhere
I
along the
don't mean that he fellates
lines,
people.
yeah, somewhere along
Well,
the
that's
lines,
weird.
cocksucker became a bad thing. Yet,
It's so good.
isn't that all what we're looking for?
I'm
It's
totally right. It
really
should perpetuate
it's really
people.
like deep-seated misogyny. That's where that
Oh
comes from.
yeah, for sure. But I mean, it's not even misogyny at the point, right? Well, I mean, it is, but when normal, random, average people say it, they don't even think about what it means. It is just a figure of speech. Like when David says it's total figure of speech, he doesn't mean it to be misogynistic. It's
Yeah,
just.
I'm hurting our future chances for the sucking of the cock.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, you are.
I bet he's an asshole. There,
There you
Beth.
go.
There you
There
What
you go. That's a
offensive to
good one.
assholes.
Everybody likes assholes.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is
And
this the
then.
most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. First episode of 2016. Get right into it. Randy, Amanda, Justin, how you guys doing?
Good.
Fabulous.
Excited.
Yeah, keep the energy up. Okay, we're jumping into it. Star Wars.
White
Past
flavor.
Oh, God, again?
Number two,
I thought this was
domestic box
over.
office. No way. By Tuesday night, it'll be the number one domestic film in the United States, passing Avatar. And then in a couple days, it'll pass Jurassic World to be the number three worldwide. So obviously, we got to start with Star Wars. So let's start on a high note. So George Lucas, what's up with this guy, Justin? He sounds cuckoo cucks.
Oh, don't go to me. I have severe back pain. I can't think properly right now.
Randy, so what's his creepy Uncle George, who we know and love, who's given us six amazing films and who we pray to every night,
What's his
said some
deal?
controversial things. What's happening up there, Randy? What's going on in Mr. Lucas's head? Is he going to all Tarantino on us?
I think so, man. So he did this interview back in November with Charlie Rose, talking about how Star Wars for him is like going through a bad breakup or a bad divorce. And then he goes on to say that the Star Wars movies are like his children, and he sold them off to quote unquote white slavers. And then he just laughed at his own joke uncomfortably for a few seconds before the realization set in that, oh shit, I really shouldn't have said that. And then, so a month later, right as just around the time that the movie hits the world in December, this interview comes to light, and everybody's bad-mouthing Uncle George. And just now he has come out and recanted everything that he said. Basically saying that it was a poor analogy and he didn't really mean it. And he has nothing but love for Disney and for what they did with his franchise.
What a liar.
I mean, how did this not come out before? I mean, Charlie Rose films in front of an audience. I mean, there had to be some like.
It didn't become interesting until the movie came out.
Are you kidding? George Lucas called Disney slavers. That's interesting the second it comes out of his mouth. And I don't know how Charlie Rose's like PR team didn't like tease that. Like, tonight on Charlie Rose, George Lucas calls Disney slavers.
Yes, I don't know. I don't know why that didn't come out sooner. But I mean, I've been calling them that ever since I worked for the company. So, I mean,
Well, and that's
Uncle
different.
George is behind me in this line throwing insults at Disney.
That's because Disney was giving you like $11 an hour. Disney gave Lucas $4.5 billion.
I know,
At
he doesn't really
some
have
point,
room to complain.
at some point, you don't lift a gift horse in the mouth. Sure, he's given a lot of that money to charity, but he didn't have to sign the dotted line, as Amanda said, right? Amanda, what are your thoughts
Yeah.
on?
I think that he, well, I mean, I, this is why you don't sell your baby because you're gonna regret it. No matter how
Yeah.
much money you're getting for it, you're going to regret it.
Yeah, bottom line is what it comes down to is he regrets making that sale and losing control over his beloved franchise, and he just needs to get over it. There's still bitter feelings.
Seller's remorse, is that what
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There is such
a thing.
I
think he sold his baby to the one company that is strong enough to tell Lucas, like, you know, we're just going to make these without you. Because I think he had all intents that he was going to be intimately involved in the process. He wasn't going to direct it, but he probably would have, like, EP'd it or something like that. And Disney,
and I'm sure they told him, like, whatever he wanted to hear in order to, like, sign the deal, you know? Mm. Like, I doubt that they were going to be upfront with him about, like, wanting to take the wheel. Or maybe he didn't realize what giving over the steering wheel would mean, you know? Maybe he thought he'd be okay with it, and then when push came to shove, he wasn't.
Right.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Well,
yeah, I mean, same thing, you know, when you give the reins to somebody else and you got to be a backseat driver, it can be frustrating and nerve-wracking, and at the same time, who's to say that the initial story that they thought was going to work, they just decide to go a different route? That happens all the time. You guys right, you change directions, and maybe he just didn't want to change the direction. He thought he had his sights set, and they said, well, that's cool and all, but save that ship for the cannon that no longer exists, buddy.
Yeah, and I think they've said so much, you know, Abrams has been – they didn't do press junkets for Force Awakens, but Abrams has been doing the rounds. And it sounds like initially that Luke was going to be the main character in the franchise, that, you know, they were going to have the opening with Rey and Finn, and that eventually Luke was going to save the day. And what Kasdan and Abrams, who eventually rewrote Force Awakens, said was once Luke came into the picture, there was no point for any of the other characters, just because – Luke Skywalker is here. You don't need Rey. You don't need Finn. You have this Jedi who can take out anybody. And, I mean, so to a point to where, you kind of agree with him. Like, you know, he almost you've created this character that's going to be arguably too powerful, and you introduce him too early in the script. You know, you're gonna have a bad time.
I can see that. And just with so many new audience members, I think it's great for them to be able to relate to these newer, younger characters. It all makes sense. I was just sad on my own personal level that I didn't get Luke Skywalker. He's my hero in this story.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It just affected me on a personal level. I get the grand scheme of things. I was just sad and had my head held a little low that day.
I read an interesting article about scenes that were cut from The Force Awakens, and there were quite a few that got really far along. We even referenced it before when we were talking about the movie and all these different scenes from trailers and teasers that didn't end up making the final cut. And J.J. Abrams went on to say that in a lot of the first drafts of the screenplay, Luke came in much earlier. He came in like towards the beginning of Act 3 of the movie, but at that point all focus seemed to shift onto Luke, and he became kind of all powerful. Nobody cared what the other characters were up to. Everybody was like, ooh, Luke's back, what's he up to, you know? And he just came in kicking ass, and it was just like, it was too convenient and too easy. So that's why they ultimately ended up making him the MacGuffin that they searched the entire movie for. That way, come the beginning of the next movie, then we can ease our way into Luke's story. I think the way that they did it is the way that they had to do it.
Yeah,
so that Luke wouldn't
be
a distraction.
Yeah, and like Justin was saying, heroes for a new generation. My kids are full in on Rey and Finn and Kylo Ren and Poe Dameron. Like, this is their Star Wars. This is their Luke, Leia, Han. And I think it's great.
That's interesting, Dave. This. How many Rey toys do they have?
They would have plenty if Disney would make it and stop hating on women.
Oh, they do that.
Not even putting them in their game. But I have to ask you guys a question. Okay, so this is your spoiler alert, guys. Force Awakens has been out for a couple weeks. It's made $700 million. If you haven't seen Star Wars The Force Awakens, you cannot bitch about spoilers at this point.
You really only
have
yourself to blame. Yeah.
So we
GTFO, motherfuckers.
Yeah. So, spoiler. So we all know Han Solo dies. How much... is it more impactful if Han is switched out with Luke and Luke's the mentor character and goes full Obi-Wan and dies at that spot trying to save Kylo Ren? What would your thoughts be on something like that? We'll start with you, Randy.
No.
Yeah, no.
No.
Across
no, what?
The board,
it's not
no.
More...
No, no, it's not going to happen. They can't do that.
It's
well, no,
not...
it's not
going
to happen.
Oh, no, he means what if he had died instead of Han Solo?
Oh,
instead of?
I thought you meant like later on, like in episode 8, they're going to kill him off. I'm like, they're not going to
kill off one
of the main three in each of these movies. Although
no,
that
no.
would be
so
interesting.
So he goes across the bridge to confront Ben.
I understand.
And he feels something in Benny's gonna happen, and at the last second his eyes go sharp, like he's gonna, like he knows what's gonna happen, but it's too late. Ben Solo stabs him through the heart. Is that sadder than Han Solo dying?
I think it is, because the original trilogy were his movies. Han Solo, as cool as he was, and yes, he was a lead, but he was kind of like a sidekick. He was a supporting character. Well, I mean, he was a lead. He wasn't really a supporting character, but it was Luke's story.
I think from a storytelling standpoint, it's not as powerful because it would only have the same impact if we saw what Kylo Ren's relationship with Luke was before it happened, because it's much easier to feel that gut-wrenching sadness at a son killing his own father out of some misguided sense of, like, you know, this is who I need to be in order to have the power that I want. That's way sadder than him killing his uncle.
Now,
that's a good point.
If Kylo Ren was Luke's kid, that would have been
perfect.
Yeah, that would have been ideal. No, I think Amanda absolutely has it right. It has to be that dynamic, that father-son dynamic, for it emotionally to work the way it does.
And you can see that Han forgives him even as he's dying.
Yeah.
And it's super sad. It hits you in the dick when he dies, but then Han puts his hand on his face and, like, looks at his son. So it's the last thing he sees before he dies. That's when the waterworks happened. Yeah. What do you think, Justin? You're a big Luke guy too. You know, I felt just as gypped as you did that we got no Luke. Would you prefer to have, you know, we all celebrate that Han Solo had such an amazing job, and, you know, he probably did it because he knew it was the last time he was going to play Han Solo. If we flip the script and Luke is in the Han role, is that more powerful?
I don't think so. I think it would have cheapened it, and I think I would have been angry. I think that it would be absurd for Luke Skywalker to have done all of this, saved the world a billion times over, and then just get caught off guard and stabbed.
Not to mention the repetitiveness of the student killing the master.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already rehashed New Hope. Like, to do it with that, too, would have been like, come on, you guys.
Right. Just put in the DVD of episode 4, for Christ.
Right. And if he would have turned into a robe, that would have been even worse.
Disappears.
How come Obi-Wan's robe doesn't get cut in half, too? How come the hood isn't off falling at a different pace? That doesn't make any sense. If he's chopping off his head, his robe shouldn't fall as one piece. It should fall as two pieces.
Obi-Wan is Job from Arrested Development. It's an illusion.
It's an illusion. He just dropped through the trap door.
Yeah. Final countdown started blaring.
But I think that would have been absurd for him to die. I don't think Luke Skywalker should die at all in this entire new trilogy.
I agree.
I concur with that.
I think if the Jedi are to have a future, then Luke Skywalker needs to exist.
Yeah, they killed Han, so everyone can be uneasy that no one's safe in this universe. But yeah, I don't see Han die. I see Poe dying in this trilogy, since he was supposed to die in Force Awakens. But
oh yeah, he's playing the Final Destination game. He's gonna get it.
Final Destination game.
Yeah, he's gonna get it.
Dodged a bullet once, but you can't cheat death for too long.
Yeah, someone's gonna cut his fuel line. He's just gonna crash.
Kylo's gonna get you. Mm-hmm.
Seen it.
There was a fun little post. I don't know if it was on Reddit or something. It was about, it kind of addressed kind of your concerns, Justin, about Kylo Ren, you know, kind of being a bitch about it. And this one guy posted this giant rant. It was clearly written by like a 13-year-old, because it was like, fucking this, fucking that. But it was talking about like the movie's portrayal of the bowcaster. Like, we're purposely shown like 5 times in this movie that the bowcaster basically, like, if you get hit by that, you get launched like 80 feet back and break every bone in your body.
Right, whereas he just takes it, and then it's like...
He takes a knee, and then
gets and he's still able to fight two people. We should be saying, not what a little bitch he is, but oh my god, he's so amazing. He was able to take a bowcaster bolt and fight two people and still get away. This guy's a badass.
Yeah.
Pass.
Yeah, I saw a meme that shows... Vader. I saw a meme that showed Obi-Wan from episode 3 on the ground. He just got grazed and he was out for the entire Anakin Dooku fight. And then then it showed Kylo Ren getting blasted with the bowcaster and getting grazed by a lightsaber several times in the battle and still being a badass. And everybody calls him a pussy.
A lot of lightsaber wounding in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people get, like, no limbs cut off and, no, and like, really no, with exception of Han, spoiler alert, really no deaths, but a lot of, like, poking and scarring and, mm-hmm. I don't know.
And they're getting mighty close to their face. Like when Kylo Ren's in the tree and he just shuts his lightsaber right in front of Rey's face. That's dangerous.
Yeah. It is a cool setting. They're like snow with the trees and they're like hacking the trees as they're fighting. I definitely dig the setting on the Starkiller base for the lightsaber battle.
Why is there all these different... I think I missed something with the Starkiller base. Is it a planet that they put jets on it? Or did they build this thing from the scratch? Did they turn a planet into a weapon, or did they make a planetary weapon?
I think they turned a planet into a weapon.
Okay, so the planet has all these mountains and snow and all these different settings and landscapes.
Correct.
And they just added jumbo jets and laser beams.
Correct. They turned it into like a mobile cyclops.
But is how does mobile? The planet? How does the planet sustain everything that it has when it moves all over the place away from whatever planet it's attached to?
How does it move? Does it move?
Yeah, there is a line when Snoke and Hux are talking, or when Snoke is ordering them around, where Hux says something about the hyperdrive, or maybe it's when Greg Grunberg's character's talking to Leia. I don't know. Someone makes some reference about it being a hyperspace capable planet.
Yeah, I don't see how that works. I don't see how you could be protected when it's... Like, when you look at Earth, right? And we are this delicate balance that we are the perfect distance from the sun, and it makes everything wonderful, right? How do you take the sun?
You tilt 1 degree on our axis, and everybody dies.
And we're fucked, right? Okay. Yeah. So how does this planet work? I don't get it.
It's got shields. I don't
And if it's sucking star juice... It's gonna need that star to survive.
They use the Force, Justin.
Oh,
that's like, not how it works. Like
science.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. We'll use the Force. Use the Force. Doesn't work not like how that. It works. And then he's like, oh, you're cold. Hmm. Okay, look.
This movie's fake.
It is fake.
I'm gonna call bullshit on Force Awakens.
Did you see the guy who made a light? Who made like kind of a lightsaber?
Yeah, a flame sword.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty scary.
Gotta be careful.
The big path of Roo. Enough of this Star Wars and its box office dominance. And George Lucas talking about slavers. Is anyone still interested in George R. R. Martin as an author, or are we just all in on the game? Movies.
I love George R. R. Martin. I like reading about people walking and eating and spitting.
Drink Dornish gold or whatever.
That's all they do. They walk, they eat, and they spit.
And they fornicate with siblings.
I was going to say, I thought there was effing going on in there, too.
Yeah, but it's not sexy. There's something. Leave it to George R. R. Martin to just turn sex into something that's just not attractive.
Because it's never consensual.
Oh, yeah, it's always dirty.
And when it is consensual, it's between two people who shouldn't be having sex. Brothers and sisters.
Like Stumpy?
Stumpies. Well, nobody likes that.
I am looking forward to his book if and when he ever finishes it.
Alright. Well, we all know it's not coming out anytime soon, and he officially confirmed that it will not be out before Season 6 of Game of Thrones. His official statement was, "For months now, I've wanted nothing so much as to be able to say I have completed and delivered the Winds of Winter, on or before the last day of 2015. But the book's not done. Nor is it likely to be finished tomorrow or next week. Yes, there's a lot written. Hundreds of pages, dozens of chapters. There's no pages done, reports. The reports were insane. The usual garbage, internet journalism, blah, 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 blah." Says he's still got shit to write, and he's polishing, and don't hold your breath.
Huh. That's fine.
What say you, Justin?
I can respect that. Don't rush it.
It's ready when it's ready?
Ready when it's ready. Why don't try and... please the fans, just do what you gotta do, make it happen. We got the show to fall back on, no big deal.
There's nothing worse than, as a creative person, putting your name on something that you don't want to put your name on.
Right. I don't think any style.
This is almost like a George Lucas thing, in that you know, this was his baby. You know, he sold it to HBO to produce the series, and now they have done a, you know, quote unquote better job of telling his story than he has, because they've been able to catch up to him. Is it, as a creative person, would that upset you?
That someone else is going to say.
Someone else is going to tell your story before you now.
Yeah, it's true. That would be really hard.
But they also
really hard to take.
They also cheated though, because the story is already written, and they get to combine characters to make it easier for the viewer to understand. They don't have to keep introducing. There's already a billion characters, and they're able to find workarounds and have this person's part kind of play into this person instead, and they can make up their own characters and have them die however they want. So really, HBO is on easy street as far as I'm concerned, compared to.
Yeah, and I think there are too many. Like, I think the problem with season six was that just when you start getting interested in someone else's story, like, they go away for like two episodes so they can tell like everyone else's story. I almost wish that they would eliminate several other stories, or even maybe like one season told from like the Stark POV and one season told from like the Lannister POV. You know, that would expand the life of the show and it would allow for Martin to catch up. Do you think?
I think that would be boring as fuck.
Think so?
Especially when you get to Danny's POV.
Oh my! You're right. I did not think this.
You forgot about her, didn't you?
Oh my god! Well, do you think Martin's? He's a pretty powerful author. Do you think that he had the power, or do you think he even tried to have them like delay the show, like maybe go the Sopranos route, to where there was like 18 months off in between each season?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't really know that much about him, but I sort of feel like he would not have even asked that, you know? Like, it's going to be done when it's going to be done. Like, for him to ask them to delay it, like, it just doesn't make sense, because he can't guarantee when he's going to be finished. Like, I had every intention of finishing the first draft of my book before the end of this year, and then, like, a month ago, I realized that I need to add in a whole new storyline, which is going to be something like 10 more chapters. And, like, I had not anticipated that at all. And I just had this brainwave that, like, oh, crap, I need this in order for things to make sense.
Yeah, and
like,
I can
it
respect-
just happens.
Yeah, no, I can respect that it takes a long time to, you know, we're all writers. We all are creative people, you know. Stuff's done when it's done. If you try to rush something, it's usually terrible or it stinks. I think is what hurts me as the artist is that he's not going to be able to tell his story first. Is that someone's going to be in the punch, and someone's going to be in the his. He has two books left in the series, and both of them are going to be told by somebody else before him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this is the last book, and like, okay, so I didn't get the last book out in time. You still got another book, you know. I almost wonder if that would like. As a creative person, if that would almost like kill your mojo to finish it, like, you know,
it would be really, really hard. I like me personally, if I was him, I would be agonizing because like I suddenly I'm not the source material anymore, and they have control over, you know, what ends up being out there.
And he's going to have fan backlash to go on, too.
Mm-hmm.
Show was better.
Yes.
Right.
Jon Snow, Daenerys, whoever ends up on the Iron Throne might be different when it comes time to for Book 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so what kind of curveballs could, I mean, aside from just, you know, fucking with HBO and just telling them a total bullshit story, which he won't do, I'm just trying to think how narratively we could be satisfied with how he as the creator can be satisfied that this is how the show is and this is how the books are, kind of like how Harry Potter, you have books and you have your movies and they are similar, but there are enough differences to make them enjoyable on different fronts. I just don't know. Maybe he has to make like the last two books like a trillion pages just so he can cram in as much nonsense, or maybe he focuses on the characters they're not introducing in the show.
Right. Yeah, like he definitely went an interesting route in book five that I was not expecting at all. A new character pops up that just fucking kicks ass and takes names, and they are not mentioned at all in the show. So I'm curious to see how that plays out.
maybe the book will go his route and the show will go a different route.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I wonder if you can have two like completely splintered narratives like that.
I think
this is what happens this time. This is a parallel universe.
Honestly, it felt like that when Selmy was killed in the last season of the show.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, they're obviously going a different direction now. And I was okay with that. I accepted it. I was like, okay, this is my TV universe, and then I have my book universe, and that's all there is to it. But, oh well. What can you do?
Yeah, I was sad when Selmy died, too. But April will find out if Jon Snow is alive or dead. How many episodes do you think they're going to drag that out, Randy?
Sorry, excellent, my mic was muted.
That's okay. Yeah, I figured. How many episodes do you think they're going to string us on along Jon Snow's fate?
I say we will find out by episode 3. I say there's going to be 2 episodes where we don't see anything at the wall.
I think we find out right away, or we don't find out until the second to last episode.
Man, that's horrible. I was thinking the very end of the first episode. That's what I was
right, yeah, for. It's either in the first episode, or it's not until, like, the 8th or 9th episode.
God, that would suck.
Like, the end of the first episode, like, we see, like, his body's not there.
Yeah.
And then, like, we get, like, clues, and then, like, he shows up at the end or something.
Or is the eyes open again or something?
Yeah.
My God. I bet we get a whole episode of Bran. Bran and Oliver for 53 minutes.
He looks so old now.
He's just going to be stuck in a tree.
Mm-hmm. What's we saw the Comic-Con in July, and he didn't look that big. Mm-hmm. Now he looks like a monster. He's like a man.
I know. Puberty hit hard.
I think he's going to be like the central character of the last two seasons.
Oh my God.
Did they kill what's his face?
Yes.
From Love Actually?
Jojen, yeah.
I couldn't remember.
Got wounded and then he got blown up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That little fairy girl threw firecrackers on his face and he blew up. Because
that doesn't happen in the book, right? He lives, right? No.
No. He dies defending Bran, like buying Bran and Hodor and all them time to get
into the cave,
yeah. Okay. But I'm pretty sure he dies in the book too. I hope they use Bran since, you know, now that he's plugged into the Weirwood tree and he can see all of time. I hope they use him as, you know, a plot device to explore, you know, the rich history of Westeros. I mean, that's one of my favorite parts of like the first 3 books is they go a lot into, you know, Robert and Ned's conquest and, like, you know, the Mad King and stuff like that. I think it would be cool to see stuff that is touched on in the books, but not in the shows. Maybe even see Jon Snow's lineage and stuff like that.
Yeah, and see his dad. There's scenes in the book where he sees his dad praying to the Weirwood tree or whatever. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But Sean Bean, he's aged a lot in the past few years.
Yeah, death will do that to a person.
Well, they could put a wig on him and dye his beard. People will be so excited to see Ned Stark, they'll forgive anything.
They'll put Boromir footage into the show.
Yeah.
Just slaying all these orcs.
Blowing the horn of Gondor. Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. We're getting there. Bran's got a haircut. That's the important thing.
Yeah. So 2016, Game of Thrones. Also in 2016, we got some movies coming out. So there's this list. Who wants to go through this list so we can debate what these big gambles are?
Being the resident list guy, I'll go ahead and take this burden myself.
Is that what it says on your business card? It's like Randy Van Dyke, resident list guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
He named names.
I will bear this burden, take this list, and throw it into the fires of Mount Doom.
Ooh. I can't carry you, Mr. Van Dyke, but I can carry. I can't carry the list, Mr. Van Dyke, but I can carry you.
Perfect. I like it.
Share the load.
All right, so this is in no particular order, so I'm not going to name off numbers. So I'm just going to go down the list. The first one here, Deadpool, release date February 12th.
This is Hollywood's
16 biggest gambles. Of 2016. Sorry if I skipped over the title of the list.
Compliments of IGN.
16 biggest gambles of 2016. Compliments of our competitor, IGN.
Wow. I don't know. I think last week I said that I feel like I would enjoy this movie if I were 13. And I still feel that way. I think it'll be
direct competitor.
I think it'll be fun, but I think a lot of the humor is going to fall flat on me because, I don't know.
You're old man.
Yeah. I'm 35 and a half, Amanda.
I still have the mind of a 13-year-old boy, yeah, so I think it's going to hit me right.
I feel like I do too, but and maybe when I'm in the same room with you guys, I might revert back to my childhood and be an idiot for a while, but I just have a feeling that when I watch this, it's just not going to land well.
We'll come down for Valentine's Day, and we'll go take you to see it. We'll go on a date.
Okay.
A man date.
Man date, yeah.
Man date.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, I just think that there's a very vocal minority of fans who will see it, but I think that it'll end up being a disappointment and a footnote in the X-Men franchise.
Oh, was X-Men related?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I thought it was.
I don't think I understand. Awesome. I don't understand all the hype around the character Deadpool. Like, I've never bought a Deadpool comic in all my years.
Like, you used to read Cable in Deadpool, didn't you?
I got an issue.
Oh, someone I know was really into it. I thought it was you.
Oh.
Shows what I know.
Well, it can also be said that since you haven't purchased a book and you haven't read it, you can't know the allure that all these other fans see in it because you haven't read it.
Right. Well, I feel like because everyone was so giddy over this guy that I would want to be interested in it, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, everybody dresses up as Deadpool at Comic-Con, right? There's a million Deadpools. He's got a billion books. There's a billion different Deadpool number ones because they keep relaunching a new series every 5 minutes.
All we have to do is wait for 5 more weeks. We'll get to see it, and maybe we'll finally learn what everybody loves about this character.
I hope it's amazing.
I hope Ryan Reynolds needs a hit, and I hope this is it because I like Ryan Reynolds.
Poor Ryan Reynolds.
Proposal 2.
He just poor Ryan Reynolds and his
cannot find
body.
A superhero to play.
Mm-mm.
Poor guy can't catch a break.
But you know what? If this movie tanks, he might just be so low in his career that we'll eventually be able to get him in one of our movies. Oh, yeah.
Bomb.
And also coming out next month, February 5th, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Can't believe they made that.
Are we over zombies yet?
Well, please? They've been trying to make this movie since forever. Since like 2008 or 9. I remember they had like Natalie Portman attached to it or something.
Yeah, I remember.
And nobody's excited for this movie.
Nope.
Yeah.
No one wants this.
That's a shame.
And it looks kind of lame.
Oh. Who knows?
Also a failure.
Straight to video.
Will not be kind.
Yeah.
I mean, the source material is really just like a novelty.
Right.
Thing, you know, it's not actually like well written or whatever. It's just kind of a joke. I mean, it was meant to be a joke.
Yeah. I will go on a limb and say that The Force Awakens makes more than Pride and Prejudice on its opening weekend. The weekend of February 5th, The Force Awakens will make more than Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like comparing their opening days.
No.
I was like, oh,
no.
Really, Dave?
Pride and Prejudice will make $2 million, and Force Awakens will make $3 million.
Don't go on too much of a limb there.
Yeah. Pride and Prejudice will not make $750 million.
In fact, I'm going to make a point of seeing that, seeing Star Wars on that weekend. My birthday
instead
weekend.
Instead of
so,
Pride
yeah.
and Prejudice go, and Zombies.
Exactly. I'll go treat myself to seeing some Star Wars so that we can help make that prophecy come true.
Well, it's Zach's birthday weekend, too, and we haven't seen an IMAX yet, so maybe we'll go out and see if it's still in IMAX theaters.
I bought that book for Jennifer 1 year for her birthday.
Yeah,
Pride
like
and Prejudice
it?
And Zombies. I don't know the answer to that, probably. It was a gift from her brother, for crying out loud.
It's the same guy who made Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I read that. That wasn't half bad.
The movie was, though.
The movie was terrible. But
it was all bad.
The book was a fun read. I mean, I read it while I was waiting at the airport and then on my flight, and then I was done by the time I got home. So it was a quick read. But if you're stuck at an airport, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That didn't do well either.
No, it was terrible.
No.
But the book was fun.
And now Randy gets to shift from his birthday to my birthday.
Oh, shit.
Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Release date, March 25th.
Heck yeah!
Oh, man, this movie's going to suck. I want it to be good, but every time I see a trailer, I just hate it more and more.
Ben Affleck's going to be awesome.
I know, I want his Batman movie, though. I don't want a Superman movie with it.
Or Wonder Woman.
Or Wonder Woman.
I like in the three shot with Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman. Batman's got a big fucking machine gun.
Oh, yeah. It breaks my heart. Why can't he have, like, batarangs or something else?
Something that's not a projectile slinging weapon.
He looks so stupid.
Doesn't
with a
he
gun.
Have a thing about guns?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure maybe it'll play into the context.
Zack Snyder's not big on research.
Harvey Dent. Can we trust him?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe in the context of the movie it'll work. Maybe he just, like, disarmed somebody and he's holding their gun. I don't know.
It's an anti-Kryptonian ray gun.
There you go. Shoots kryptonite bullets.
Yeah. He wants to get it in aerosol form, but all he's got is a gun for right now.
Yeah, all his cans are with, like, shark repellent. They're all full. Yeah, I mean, how many times have we ever seen Batman with a gun in any Batman movie? Like, ever?
Never.
Other than, like, a grappling gun.
Yeah.
And that's not used as a projectile weapon. It's used as a grappling hook.
Right. But it has gun in the title. And I don't want people to, like, lawyer me on Twitter and say, well, he has a grappling gun. That's a gun.
Lawyered.
Doesn't he shoot? I feel like he shoots some kind of bat explosives with a gun on something. Maybe that's in one of the Arkham games. You have, like, a gun that shoots these bat explosives.
Well, he straight up tries to murder the Joker in 1989 Batman with the machine guns in the Batwing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Joker and all of his goons when they're on that parade float.
His sights
he's
are
just
off.
Spraying the street.
Yeah, and a bullseye's right on his face. How does he miss?
And he shoots on the sides of him.
Yeah.
Next time you should put a gun in the middle.
Back to the drawing board, Batman.
Alfred.
Yeah. Supposed to be a good mechanic. What a piece of shit. I mean, either way, I'm going to go see the movie, but I have a feeling that Lex Luthor's just going to ruin it for me.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you want to drop in, or do you want to have to do any editing, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
No.
I just texted Jennifer, and she said she liked the book, and she thought it would be a good movie, but she saw the trailer and thought that the tone was really different from the book.
Well, there you go. That answers so, that. And she's a reader.
But trailers are not always...
No, they're terrible lately. I like that we were just talking about that. The trailer for Star Trek Beyond didn't make a lick of sense. Like, it didn't feel like Star Trek to me at all. Even Simon Pegg was like, I don't know if I agreed with that trailer. It didn't explain the movie at all. And then and it's Crimson Peak. That was another one where I was like, I thought I was getting into something else completely.
Yeah. Based so, like, I guess in the book, like, the zombies are just part of life. But the trailer makes it seem like the zombie situation is pretty dire.
Oh.
So, I mean, but I can see why they would do that, because there has to be conflict.
Right.
Beyond just, you know...
Finding a husband.
Right. If you're gonna go to the trouble of having zombies, there's gotta be something else going on.
Now, this movie is like DC's Avengers. You know, it's got to make a ton of money. What figure? We'll start with you, Amanda. What figure does this movie have to make for people to be like, it's a success?
I don't know. I'm not good with numbers.
$1 billion, Amanda.
Is that your number?
That would be my number too.
Honestly, it has to. It has to do $1 billion. I think it's worldwide, not domestic or anything. I think that. In order for this to be taken seriously, then I think it needs to be $1 billion. Because this is the best that DC has to offer. Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. It's not going to get any better than that. That's
so they get Aquaman!
That is the trifecta of awesome.
These are their heavy hitter. They're heavy hitters.
Yeah.
All together at once.
And if you can't hit $1 billion, then you should just go fuck yourself. And not worry about it anymore.
Right. In March, when you have the box office all to yourself, all the IMAX screens, there's nothing coming your way.
No excuses whatsoever. Yeah. It is what it is. This should be DC laying all their cards on the table, saying this is what we're capable of. We hope you enjoy the ride. And when we get off the ride, we want to say, oh my God, let's go again. That needs to be the response.
Get off the ride and say, Suicide Squad's only 3 months away.
Oh, yeah. That movie's going to be dog shit.
Oh, no. I bet that movie's pretty good.
I'll be the negative Jared Leto. Nancy. I know. I'll be the negative Nancy this time. Anyway, what's next?
It's fun.
Next, the Angry Birds movie, release date, May 20th.
Wow.
Yay.
What has this movie got going for it? Is there like a ton of voice actors?
Yes. I mean, you name it. Like Jason Sudeikis, you know, every comic in the world is in it.
Everyone and their mother.
Is it going
to their mothers.
Who's making it? Oh, Sony.
Sony Pictures Animation.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They did Hotel Transylvania and the Smurfs in a similar style of animation.
The Rio movies.
Do those do well, though?
Yeah, so it's got
they
Peter
made two
Dinklage.
Of them.
Yeah, it's got Peter Dinklage, Bill Hader, Jason Sudeikis, Maya Rudolph, Josh Gad, Danny McBride, Keenan Michael Key, Jillian Bell. So it's got a good Tony Hale. So it's got a great cast. So hopefully it's one of those few movies that appeals to both kids and adults. The trailers are cute. I mean, I'm not going to go opening day. Oh, I probably will because my kids will want to see it. But, you know, it looks fine. Looks like, you know, there's not a lot of family movies coming out in the early summertime, so it'll probably do well. It'll probably make, you know, $700-800 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah, what else are kids gonna watch?
Fucking Minions made over $1 billion and it's terrible.
Okay, there you go. Minions made $1 billion.
Billion.
Batman v Superman better make $1 billion.
Yeah, it's just shocking.
You heard it. You heard it. Batman v Superman.
I mean,
Gauntlet
those,
Throne.
Yeah, those little minions threw down the gauntlet. Exactly. You got to do better than those banana eating fucks.
Next on our list.
$1.157 billion.
That's absurd.
It's awful.
What's next?
Independence Day Resurgence.
Oh, yeah, that.
June 24th release date.
Yeah, June
20th.
Why isn't it coming out on Independence Day? God damn them.
That's a good question.
It's like a month early.
Yeah, something's coming out.
It's 2 weeks early. That's
well, 4th of July is a Monday, but they could have released it on Friday the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
Made sense. A full week later, that would have made all the sense. But it depends what else is opening that following weekend. Maybe they didn't want to go up against some other stiff competition.
Stiff.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I like it.
That is the way you like it, Justin. Next,
do you think that's
stiff?
Oh, wait, do we think? Do we think Independence Day is going to be disappointing?
I think it looks fun. I don't know.
I think it'll be just like Jurassic World. You know, it'll.
Yeah.
I find your lack of Will Smith disturbing.
I don't. I'm okay.
It'll be fine.
I bet it's fun.
Yeah, so on July 1st, Legend of Tarzan, the BFG, and the Purge 3 all come out that day.
Warcraft, the beginning. June 10th release date.
Oh, how fun. I'm excited.
We're all Warcraft fans here. Should be fun.
I like
Warcraft. It could be risky, though, because does it rely on the audience having played any of the Warcraft or World of Warcraft games?
Well, let's just pretend that there are 10 million subscribers that all go out and see this movie. It doesn't matter.
So that's $100 million there. So now you're two-thirds of the way to your budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think that it has... Like, we're super pumped for it. I'm excited for it. But, you know, my mom isn't excited for it. You know, and for this huge of a tentpole movie, you know, it probably costs, you know... close to $300 million with advertising. You know, you need my mom to be excited.
Why don't you tell her that you made it?
Or my uncle. Or, you know, I don't think it has the universal appeal that, like, you know, something like even like comic movies. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I don't know. I think it looks just a little too nerdy for some people.
Yeah, there's just a little bit too much about the Warcraft world that's not easily relatable, I think. Because even with Lord of the Rings, I don't know, there was something a little bit more universal about it.
That was an interesting movie, though, because it continued to make more money as it was released. Like the first Lord of the Rings, Fellowship. I remember it kind of had a soft open, and then everyone was like, oh my god, this movie's fucking badass, and everyone went and saw it again.
Yeah.
Or told their friends. I think people were nervous about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and I mean, and for Warcraft, at BlizzCon, we got to speak to most of the cast, and you know, we asked every single person there, you know, how is this going to cross that barrier to be this huge success? And, you know, they all tried to say, you know, at its heart, it's, you know, a love story. At its heart, it's an action movie. You know, it's just we happen to use orcs and ogres and, you know, all this other cool stuff. So, you know, I hope it's a success because I love Warcraft, but I'm just afraid that it's not going to do. I want it to do good so we can have more, but I'm just afraid. I'm a coward.
Be afraid, Dave. Be very afraid.
Very, very afraid.
You will be.
Don't be a little butch.
Next on our list, well, I think we finally found out the competition coming out July 1st, The Legend of Tarzan. Maybe that's why Independence Day is coming.
There's no way this is good.
Alexander Skarsgård looks like a handsome man. pretty good as Tarzan.
How many Tarzan movies have there been?
Domesticated Tarzan.
There have even Christopher Lambert was Tarzan.
Well, this one's
once.
Different.
What's different about it?
Yeah,
it's all crap.
Because now Tarzan has left the island. Tarzan is living in London and has to go back to the island. You know, this isn't your standard Tarzan tale of, you know, Jane gets lost in forest. Tarzan has to save Jane. I mean, it is that, but it's
Tarzan.
You know, they go back.
There was one where they went to New York. Tarzan was in New York.
Which Tarzan
you
goes in New York?
Might yeah. be thinking of George of the Jungle.
No. It was like in
or
the
Jungle
80s.
The
no.
Oh, okay.
It was a Tarzan movie in the 80s where he like goes to New York.
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like a good one, though. It doesn't sound like one of the real Tarzans. I mean, I don't think it's going to be very good, but I'm just saying. At least they're trying. Like, did you see the Hercules with the rock?
It was 1942, by the way. Tarzan's New York Adventure.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know how I missed that one, but did you see the Hercules with the rock?
No, I didn't want to watch because the whole trailer was just him killing animals, and it pissed me off.
It's kind of a unique take on the Hercules myth in that it's Hercules isn't like the son of Zeus. Like it's all like he's a mercenary and he's got like this group of people help him. And so they all help him behind the scenes, so it looks like he did all of these great deeds. But really, it was like this group of like six people. And so it's kind of a fun reimagining, but it's neither here nor there. Sorry. Tangent.
Gonna suck.
The movie still sucks, but it's the idea sound.
You know what I hope isn't gonna suck?
What?
Ghostbusters. July 15th, our debut of the all-female Ghostbusters team. I so very much love the original movie. I hope it's going to live up to the name of the franchise. What do you guys think?
I think
my expectations are...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, my expectations are high because they just SNL released their top clips of 2015, and there were a couple really funny clips with the new Ghostbusters, and I'm optimistic that it'll be amazing.
There you go.
All right. Next, Star Trek Beyond, July 22nd.
All right. I'm okay with this.
Well, based on the trailer that we saw, what do we know about this movie?
That they're being manhandled by Disney white slavers.
No, that's the other Star movie.
No, they're like
War.
It's like Star Trek VI, where they go to like some kind of prison and they're in a camp.
That's Star Trek V.
No.
Shut your hole, Randy.
And six.
It's no, the Discovery Country. Five is the one where he meets God. That's Final Frontier.
Yeah.
Which is the one at the prison planet? Was that six?
Yeah.
Six. Undiscovered Country.
Where they're busted for killing the Klingons.
I only remember the beginning of the movie with the murder in zero gravity and the Klingon blood floating around.
And then they go
to
prison.
Rurapente.
Yeah.
Totally thought that was Star Trek V. Holy shit.
You've been loving Star Trek V all these years.
But I apologize to Star Trek fans everywhere. No.
It's Data's daughter.
Yeah, duh.
Okay, so the Enterprise blows up like in 3, but then they go to a prison planet like in 6.
Correct, though.
Well.
And Justin's favorite, the search for Spock.
Ugh, the worst.
Next on our list, Suicide Squad, opening August 5th. We were just talking about that earlier. I'm still looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the Joker any way I can get him.
I don't think it's going to be good. I think I want it to be good, but I don't think it will be. I think it'll be trash.
Right. I hope it's good because DC is doing what I think I would like Marvel to do, in that they're making a completely different like movie from like a tone and a character standpoint. You know, David Ayer, who's directing Suicide Squad, is going to make, I don't want to say a dark movie because they're all dark, but it looks like this is going to be a different kind of movie, kind of like how the anthology movies in Star Wars, I think, are going to be different. And I hope this is a huge success so Marvel takes some chances with their franchises.
Well, yeah, so you say the same tone, but or a different tone, but they're all dark, dumb movies like this.
Well, yeah, that's why I hesitated to say tone, but it looks like, you know, this one, they're allowing the humor to where, you know, Snyder's kind of been, you know, not really embracing the fun side of comics. You know, he wants to make Nolan-esque movies. Mm-hmm. To where this one looks like it's a little more fun, a little more lighthearted. You know, it's not a, there's not a central hero. You know, they're not banking on the identifiable stars of the DC universe in this film, with the exception of the Joker, who will probably be in the film for all of 3 seconds. So
you don't think Will Smith's gonna be the superstar of this movie?
I don't know. I don't know if enough people know who Deadshot is. I mean, people watch Arrow, they have a semi idea, but I mean,
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So I mean, this is really a cast of characters of unknowns, other than Harley Quinn. You know, maybe Killer Croc. You know, everyone else is brand new.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Taking chances.
Yeah.
And how?
I mean, Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy was a gamble. That was taking a chance. No one knew what the hell they were all about.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie ended up being number one new hit show.
Yeah, so maybe Suicide Squad will be the Guardians of the Galaxy of the DC Universe.
Oh, I hope so.
So it'll be a piece of shit.
Randy Wayne.
Oh, I forgot he didn't like it.
I'm just yanking your chain. I don't hate that movie. Next on our list.
I don't like it when you yank my chain.
Ben-Hur.
That's August weird.
I don't understand this at all.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
It'll be like the 30th time it has been put on the big screen.
Isn't that one of those ones where they had like a billion extras on the set and movies aren't made like that anymore? And
yeah, back in like 1920.
Yeah.
Or whenever the hell the first version of
people were really getting run over by chariots and dying.
Yeah.
Now you can computer check.
Yeah, now it's all CG bullshit.
There was actually a snuff film originally.
No.
Speaking of snuff films, the next film, Sausage Party. Also released on August 12th.
What is that?
It's an R-rated animated comedy about breakfast foods from co-writer, producer, and voice star Seth Rogen.
Man, that guy's everywhere.
What a weirdo.
Yeah. But it's finally happening. An R-rated animated film called Sausage Party.
It's going to be great.
Next on our list, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, November 18th. That's almost a whole year away.
Wow. Harry Potter month, though.
Harry Potter sans Harry Potter.
Yeah. They like the Novembers.
I think this movie is going to get a lot of unfair hate.
Oh.
Because people will want Harry Potter and people are weird. And
I don't know. The Harry Potter fans I know are excited about it. They're just excited for more Harry Potter-related things.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Harry Potter's not in it.
Anything in that world.
Yeah.
You know, the last time we said that was before the Hobbit movies came out.
Oof.
Like, I just want to live in Middle Earth a little longer. But I agree. I love the world of Harry Potter, and I hope... I'm office. I just think that there's, you know, the internet can like bitch about any little thing, and I think that this will be.
Oh my God, Dave!
Robot.
It's all robot.
Robot.
Sweet. Is it in the magical world though? I thought that it was in. I thought they were loose in New York City or something.
Well, there's magic everywhere in the world. Yeah, they're just wizards. I think it's one British wizard that goes and encounters a bunch of American wizards while doing research on these animals and things.
I thought it was creatures. I thought it was a fish out of water story where he's in the Muggle world.
I think there's going to be American wizards because there's American wizarding terms that they've talked about.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about as well.
Yeah, I think the beasts get out in America and he has to catch them in Muggle. I think the predominant amount of movie will take place in, like, New York, like, non-magical.
Like with Tarzan?
Tarzan in New York.
No, Tarzan left to go back to the island.
What? Go it's in Tarzan this, in
no,
New York?
It's in this time period, right? Because it's 70 years ago. It's in the 40s, right?
Tarzan's New York adventure.
Yeah, it was in 1942.
Crossover.
They're going to cross paths. Holy shit. Spoiler alert.
I don't know. I like it. Epic crossover. The next one on the list, The Great Wall, featuring Matt Damon, opening November
23rd. Huh.
Is this like a Chinese movie?
The largest film ever shot inside China for global distribution.
Oh, shit. It's a big deal.
What's it even about?
The wall.
Apparently a wall.
The wall.
Great one.
The what does he do with it?
The story behind building the wall of the Great Wall of China.
Why is Matt Damon in it?
Because he's an American super. Because if Matt Damon wasn't in it, Americans wouldn't watch it.
Chinese people built it, not white people.
They built it in a day.
They also built the railroad for the white people.
Yeah.
Maybe Matt Damon's character is going to be the one cracking the whip saying, build that wall faster.
That's terrible.
That is terrible. And I feel bad for saying it.
I almost called him the Taskmaster, but then I changed my mind. And then you go on and say that shit. That's funny.
Anyway, that's going to get edited out, right?
Uh-uh.
Nope. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Ooh. December 16th.
Never heard of it.
They all die.
They have to, right? Because we never hear about them. Spoiler alert.
That's a neat trick, right? Now we got to have a world that we care about, introduce new characters that we've never heard of, make us fall in love with them.
We know we're going to die.
And they're going to die. Good luck with that.
I don't understand why they're telling the story. We already know what happens.
Well, we don't.
But
we
do
know.
We kind of know.
We know the
end
result. We don't know how it happened.
I mean, they got the plans.
Doesn't exist anymore. I think Felicity Jones is Leia. I said it.
What?
Felicity Jones is Princess Leia.
Well, I've been hitting the spoilers and rumor sites for Star Wars, as I am known to do, and they're starting to delve a little bit more into the Rogue One stuff, because since Episode 7's already out, they don't have that to talk about anymore. And spoiler alert, anybody who may not want to hear this, stop listening. That includes you guys on the podcast here. It may be a father-daughter tale. And in which they enlist the help of a bunch of bounty hunters. So it's kind of like how that one rumor was that we heard months and months back that it was going to be like a bounty hunter version of Ocean's 11, where they all come together to pull a heist to get the plans. This may or may not be true. It's a rumor right now. But basically the guy who, after the Geonosians developed the plans to build the Death Star, this guy, who essentially was like the Oppenheimer type of character based in our own actual history, he's the guy, like the father of the modern atomic bomb, who went on to feel incredibly guilty about having created it years later after we'd used it to kill countless people. This guy has a similar thing. He helps the Empire put the finishing touches on this Geonosian design, and then feels really bad about it, and then teams up with his daughter and this group of bounty hunters to liberate these plans to be able to put them in rebel hands so that it can get destroyed before it hurts too many people. That is generally the basic plot of the movie. So it stands right now.
With Vader.
Okay.
Yeah, with Vader and Tarkin being the villains trying to stop him.
Right.
And Vader will be in this movie?
Yes.
Is James Earl Jones going to reprise his role?
As long as he's still alive.
Sweet. Hey, you said enough stuff between CNN and The Lion King. They can make it work.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, they have hours of just recorded dialogue of his on file somewhere. They can just put through a voice modulator and boom, done.
Yeah. There's so much. I know Expanding Universe doesn't count anymore, but there's so much fan service they can do with this film as far as, you know, the naming of the characters. And I really hope that even though the Expanding Universe doesn't exist, is that they give us a couple of these little things here and there, but we'll see. And it's and it is a father-daughter story because it's Vader and Leia. There's some of the different sides.
Spoiler alert.
There's your spoilers, everybody. Send your hate email or just tweet at Geek Legacy. All right.
There's one thing they know is that I don't know shit about shit.
Yeah. But you're good at giving me fake spoilers.
Hey, we had you fooled.
Yeah, you totally did.
How
last one.
When the credits rolled in The Martian, I'm just saying.
But when does he die? Waiting for an after the credits scene, for the, like a beam to fall on Matt Damon.
Yeah, he's in that classroom. He's gonna die on her.
Yeah,
that
while
sucks.
He's teaching. Yeah. All right. Last one on our list is Assassin's Creed, December 21st of this year.
Pass.
I don't know, man. Every time I see him in his costume on set, it looks so stupid. As someone that's played all the Assassin's Creed games, I don't like it.
Nope.
Not into it.
I think I'm with you. Just, I know Randy's all a flutter for it.
Looks ridiculous.
Nope. Could not care less.
Did you guys see Macbeth?
No.
Fassbender? No. It was not good. Same director, Justin Kurzel.
That Shakespeare's a hack.
What does he know about shit? He knows shit about shit.
I never even read Macbeth. Have you read Macbeth?
When I was like in like 10th grade, I think.
The only real telling I know of it is was done in the cartoon Gargoyles.
I love Gargoyles. It's probably accurate.
It's pretty close. Based on what I knew, it played out pretty much the same.
Yeah, I'm with David. I remember reading it something like 10th or 11th grade.
Oh, we didn't have to read that one. We read Hamlet. We read Romeo. Well, we read Hamlet in 11th grade, and we read Romeo and Juliet in 9th grade.
Did you get to watch the movie with the boobs?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Remember our teacher tried to, like, cover him up with, like, her hands?
Oh, shit. I remember that.
Yeah, when there's a knock at the door, she gets out of bed all fast, and you see boobs. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
It was the greatest day in our 9th grade.
Yeah. Pretty much. They made it
there
work.
Was a line like 10 people deep to get into the men's room. They're all taking turns whacking off in there.
No, we just did it in class.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is before the days of the internet, mind you, so we didn't have porn at our fingertips.
That was before smartphones, so no one was going to record you doing it. So figured, yeah. It's their word against yours.
No. Anywho. Finalists, Randy.
Yay!
Yay!
Sweet.
I think that's it.
Is it bedtime now?
I think so.
Sweet. Anybody got any shout-outs? Special requests? Randy, what you got?
Actually,
anything?
I actually do have a shout-out this week.
Hit it. Hit me.
We are going to be playing, we as in our film, Nonstop to Comic-Con, is going to be playing this Thursday at the Albuquerque Film Festival. And it's actually happening a mere day or so before the Albuquerque Comic-Con begins. So if anybody's going to be going to that, y'all got to go see Nonstop to Comic-Con. For more information as to the showtime, where you can get tickets, and the venue it's going to be playing at, go to randomreel.com, and it's going to be the very first thing that comes up. Or just Google Nonstop to Comic-Con. You'll find it.
Yay!
You'll see.
You'll see.
What about you, Justin? What you got? Anything?
Nothing.
Amanda, what do you got?
Nothing.
Nothing. All right. Well, I guess that's it. You know, make sure to check out our other buddies we got around there. We got Tim Byers at thefullbleed.net. We got Rod Faulkner at the7thmatrix.com. We got Tony Tolato at scifitalk.com. You know, we got another podcast, Comic Corner, with the mighty Jared and Tyler, our managing editor of all things comics. Definitely give them a listen. Tell them we sent you. Tell them Large Marge sent you. You know, if you got a chance, rate us on iTunes. We'd love you for it eternally. We'll give you a shout out on the show. You know, like us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. You know, we Instagram, we Tumblr, we do all that nonsense. Just search Geek Legacy. And we'll see you next week.